Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 5 of our study of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2nd Peter 1, 19 through 21. Thanks for joining me again for the 10-week Bible study. I want to point you to other resources that we have if you're interested, specifically our YouTube channel. The 10-week Bible study has a YouTube channel where I have different content made specifically for video over there, and specifically I'm creating content on the YouTube channel for people that want to use the printed Bible studies, either in paperback or Kindle format, to lead groups for personal or group study. This can be a church Sunday school class. It can be a home group. It can be a Bible study fellowship that you have. But I want to help resource you with things that will help you engage with the physical or Kindle books that I have created for this Bible study series. And that is what's going on over at the 10-week Bible study YouTube channel. Would you join me as we pray before we get started today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, not just know more about you, Jesus. We want to encounter you face to face in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Okay, so I want to pause right there. I want to go back to the first part here. Peter is saying that listen, this prophetic message that we're giving you about the return of Jesus, it is reliable. This message we're giving you, it is absolutely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, to think about it, to meditate on it. It's like a light in a dark place. It's like and he's giving us a couple of metaphors, and Peter is not, we've seen this, he's not given over to this kind of stuff. So he's maybe in the best literary fashion that Peter has, he's doing everything in his power to say, listen, you know, I'm not good at all of these kind of flowery things, but let me tell you, it's like this prophetic message. It's like a light shining in the darkness, or the sun coming up and lighting up the earth. Like this prophetic message about Jesus's return and the salvation, it is so important for you to understand and for you to believe, for you to actually believe us. Again, Peter is an eyewitness to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, one of three, and at this point, one of possibly one or two of those people still living. We know it was Peter, James, and John. James died unceremoniously at the hands of Herod very early on in the book of Acts. And so it was just Peter and John after that point. And more than likely, John is still alive at this point, but a lot of that's not completely certain. So Peter is quite possibly one of only two people still alive at this point who had seen Jesus in his glory like that on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's saying that listen, I saw him in this glory. He's coming back like this. I'm prophesying to you that Jesus is coming back in this glory. And this message, this prophecy about him returning, it is reliable. I guarantee you. And it's important that you think on it. And so continuing on here, he said, you know, that no prophecy in Scripture, it's not the prophet's interpretation. And this is an important thing. I want to continue on here, verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is so important for us to understand today. This is monumental for us in 21st century United States of America or the West or wherever you're listening to this. If you're listening to this to me in English, then more than likely you have some level of Western understanding, Western education, you have, you live in a culture that has, as part of its heritage, I suppose, the Enlightenment and different aspects there where, hey, you know, we're smart people. We can read, we can understand. We're going to look at the Bible and we're going to choose to believe whatever we want to believe about it. And that's not exactly everything the Enlightenment was about, but there's many, many people who think today that's the privilege that we have as educated people who have the ability to read. We can read the Bible and we can decide what it means to us. And as someone who has read many, many, many commentaries, and without a doubt, the most commentaries in the book of Revelation, there are so many people that will write commentaries talking about prophetic scriptures like Revelation or Old Testament prophecies. Take the book of Daniel, for instance, where the commentators, and I want to say I haven't done a scientific study of this and catalog this. I don't know this, but anecdotal evidence of the things that I've read, most of the people that write commentaries about prophetic scriptures don't believe that those prophecies are true. They actually believe that the prophet, the person writing it, let's say John or Daniel, whoever's writing it, is actually coming up with some kind of allegory to make sense of their world. A great many people write about when they write their commentaries in the book of Revelation, they see John, the apostle John, as someone who had a grievance against the Roman government. And so that the whole of the book of Revelation is some kind of allegory that he wrote against the Roman government. And that it's interesting and important for us to read and to learn, but then all this prophecy stuff, it's not really what John meant. And when Daniel wrote that the Messiah was going to be cut off and have nothing and then come back, and there was going to be this Antichrist in this period of 7 years, that, you know, Daniel was looking at you know, his culture, and he was angry about the government or what the treatment of Jews. There are so many people that will comment and believe like this. And Peter is saying, no, 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 no. The prophecy in Scripture, it's absolutely true because it didn't come from them. The prophets didn't decide to make up a story about how they were angry at the Romans. And so I was on the Isle of Patmos and I had this vision of the Lord, and he's not making it up. Daniel was not making it up. David was not making it up. Elijah, Elisha, Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they were not making it up. This was not them writing a political or religious commentary. They're telling you what they saw. They're telling you what they heard. They're telling you what the Lord told them. And so it's important for us to take the words of Scripture with that level of gravity, because they are the very words of God. And this book that we're reading through, that we're discussing right now, that you're pondering as you hear my voice, it is the most powerful set of words ever to be released on mankind. And yes, we should give every effort to read it and gain knowledge of it. But at no point can we allow ourselves the freedom to say, I wonder if John in the book of Revelation was really just angry at the Romans, and so he came up with this story. Or I wonder if Daniel was really frustrated with how the Jews were treating him, or how the Babylonians were treating the Jews, and he wanted to write this allegory. We cannot allow ourselves to do that. That's not why it was written. And Peter is making it plainly clear here. We do not have the freedom to treat Scripture that way, because when we do, in our own hearts and our own minds, we remove the reliability of that testimony of Scripture. And once we do that, once the Bible ceases to be God's word and some human's interpretation on life, it is of absolutely no value. If John was writing a commentary about the Romans, or if Daniel was writing a commentary, if Ezekiel was angry at the Babylonians and the Persians, and he's writing something against them, of his own will, we should burn this whole thing. We should light it on fire because it's of absolutely no value to us or anyone else. Not only is it not a good moral code to live by if it's not directly from God, it's deceptive and destructive. Now, I don't believe that. And I pray that you don't believe that either. But if we choose to believe that this stuff was just whatever they wanted to say, that they're writing some commentary and that the prophetic words in Scripture are not directly from God, if we choose to believe that, we may as well choose to not believe in the Bible, because its words cease to be of value, and we have to understand that. This book is so valuable and so important to us, we have to take it at its word and its face value, that when a prophet says that something is a prophecy from God, we believe it. And if it hasn't happened yet, then we choose to believe that it's going to happen. Peter is talking specifically about Jesus is returning. He's returning in power and glory. I've seen it. Peter is this eyewitness saying, I've seen him in his power and glory, and he's coming back. And right now I'm prophesying to you words that, and Peter did not have to fear whether or not, am I getting this right or wrong? Am I saying this right or wrong? An angel stood next to him as he watched Jesus ascend into the heavens. And he said, what are you doing? Go on. He's coming back just like you just saw him leave. Peter has no problem saying, listen, I'm prophesying to you now with the same weight, the same importance of Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I can prophesy to you now with the same certainty. He's coming back in power. You must know this, and it's important for you to think about it. It's important for you to pay attention to it. It's like the sunrise in your life. It's that much light. We must be people who do not fail to think about and ponder on the return of Jesus. It is one of the most important teachings in the Christian life, is to know that Jesus is returning. He's coming in power to rule and reign forever, and we will be part of that kingdom. And that is one of the most glorious teachings in the Bible and in the history of Christianity. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.